good morning once again. It is definitely a pleasure and an honor to be with you this morning. Dropping down here this morning. It seems like forever since we were able to gather here. I guess it's been, over a year and a half, about probably closer to almost 2 years. Yeah. So yes, it's been a long time, and we've missed all of you all. And, as has been said many times, we're definitely thankful that we're able to gather here today. Of course, this weekend is Memorial Day weekend, and I want to look a little bit at that theme this morning. In the next few minutes, we won't keep you very long as we look into God's Word this morning. For those that don't know me, thank you. Go take notes on my sermon here as I go along. But those that don't know me, I am Matt Lanham, and the group of guys that you heard singing for you today are from Mount Calvary Community Church. That's where I'm the associate pastor, and I'm also an Air Force chaplain. And my wife Alex is there in the back corner. And it is just a pleasure and truly an honor to be with you all. And definitely, as I've already said, as we've said many times, we're so thankful that we get to gather here today and for the course of the rest of this season here at Wilderness. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Galatians. We'll just read one verse here to start. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Like I said, I'm just going to do one verse, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer once more. Galatians 5 and verse 1, for freedom Christ set us free. Stand firm then, and don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. Let's go to the Lord one more time in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much once again for this opportunity that we have to be into this place this morning. And we thank you for each one that's made the effort to be here to worship together. And we pray, Father, in the next few minutes as we look into your word, that the words that I say would not be mine, but that they would be yours, and that you would have your way and your will with this time together. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
As has already been said, tomorrow is Memorial Day, and as I'm sure all of us that are here know by now. And for some, Memorial Day is just another holiday and a day off work, or it's a day that we can come to places like this and relax and barbecue. But to those that have lost someone that they love because of war and military action, it's a lot more than that. It's Memorial Day. It's a day that's set aside to remember those who gave their lives for the freedom that we as Americans enjoy and share. No one is really sure when or where Memorial Day had its beginning. In fact, there are more than 24 cities across the U.S. that claim to be the birthplace of Memorial Day. What we do know is that it started with the tradition of decorating the graves of soldiers during the Civil War. And one particular story that I came across, I've always been a student and a fan of history. I love history. I love studying about it, reading about it. I love, as a kid, some of my favorite trips were going to Civil War battlefields and things like that, and just exploring and getting out. Yes, I was a nerd, and that's okay. But I just absolutely love history. And one story that I came across about Memorial Day is one that I want to share with you. And like I said, regardless of who you talk to about its origins, it's almost always traced back to the Civil War. And one particular story comes from Columbus, Mississippi. And in April of 1863, after decorating the graves of her two sons, who had died representing their homeland, an elderly woman walked over to two mounds of dirt at the corner of the cemetery to place memorial flowers there also. "What are you doing?" her friends started shouting. "Don't you know that those are the graves of two Union soldiers?" And softly, the compassionate mother said, "I know, and I also know that somewhere up north, a mother or a young wife mourns for them, just as we do for ours." Mm-hmm. It was officially recognized by General John Logan, National Commander of the Grand Army of the Republic, and formally observed when flowers were placed on the graves of both Union and Confederate soldiers in Arlington National Cemetery on May 30th, 1868. After World War I, the observance expanded to include not only those who died in the Civil War, but those who gave their lives fighting in any war. And tomorrow, all across America, people of all ages and faiths will join together to remember the sacrifice that our servicemen and women have made in wars past and present. You know, the Bible is also full of memorials. The words remember, remembrance, and memorial are found more than 230 times in the pages of the Bible. God reminded his children in the Old Testament to remember that they were once slaves in Egypt, and he commanded them to observe things like the Passover, as well as other holidays, as a day of remembrance. In the New Testament, Jesus said that every time that we partake of the Lord's Supper, communion, we do it in remembrance of him. This and every Memorial Day is important to us as Americans, and as Christians, it's important for three reasons. First, Memorial Day is a day of remembering. Like I said, Memorial Day is, for Americans, is an opportunity to remember the men and women who sacrificed their lives defending our country. Jesus once said, and as the verse that we already heard this morning, there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Our servicemen and women have been willing to do that very thing since the founding of our nation. In the Civil War, there were 498,000 Union soldiers killed and 133,000 from the South. In World War I, there were 116,000 American soldiers that had died. In World War II, 407,000. 54,000 in Korea, over 58,000 in Vietnam, 148 in Desert Storm. So far to date, over 7,200 have died in the global war on terror in Afghanistan and Iraq and other places throughout the Middle East and truly all over the world. And of course, there have been other conflicts and casualties as well. From April 19th, 1775, when the first shots of the American Revolution were fired at Lexington and Concord, as recently as really just a couple of months ago when we've lost service members and training accidents and things like that, there have been over 1.4 million men and women who have paid the ultimate sacrifice in the last full measure of devotion in defense of freedom. All of us know someone. For my family, there's a long granite wall in Washington, D.C., and on panel 35 West, line 63, there's a name, Sergeant First Class John Fitzwater. That was my uncle, an uncle that I never got to meet, that died in Vietnam in Tai Nai Peninsula and paid the ultimate sacrifice. And from as early as I can remember, we memorialized him and remembered his memory as a family. As Christians, though, Memorial Day is also an opportunity to remember Jesus, who sacrificed his life in order to give us eternal life. If you walk into just about any church and you look at the communion table, the altar table, whatever the church wants to call it, you'll see the words, "Do this in remembrance of me." Those words come literally directly from the mouth of Jesus. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Every time that we come together around that table and we take communion, of course, with COVID and things like that, things that have been changed, and we can't do that as often as we would like, or if we do, it's modified. But every time that we do that, we are to do it in remembrance of the sacrifice that our Lord and Savior made. God established that as a memorial to his crucified son. If you go back up to Washington, D.C., and you look at the base of the Lincoln Memorial, you'll find the words inscribed, "In this temple, as in the hearts of the people for whom he saved the Union, the memory of Abraham Lincoln is enshrined forever." In the same way, the Lord's Supper that we begin as a living memorial to Jesus in our hearts forever. That's what Memorial Day is all about. It's remembering the ones and the one that made it all possible. Not only is it a day for remembering, but it's a day for rejoicing. As Americans, we can rejoice in the freedom that we have in this country. The men and women who have given their lives in service of our country didn't do so for nothing. They died fighting for the freedoms that we enjoy. And it's that freedom that we celebrate on days like Memorial Day. We have the freedom to vote. We have the freedom to debate. We have the freedom to do. Even just to gather here today is a freedom that was paid for by the blood of the men and women who have died for this country. I once saw a t-shirt that on the back had a cross with a quote from Romans 1:16. It says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God, the salvation of everyone who believes." And then on the front, it said, "This shirt is illegal in 51 countries, 40 restricted nations, 11 hostile areas." And you know, it's true. There's at least 51 countries in the world today where you could be imprisoned or even killed for saying that you're a Christian, for openly worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Tomorrow, when you're gathered around a picnic table with your friends and family, or wherever you may be, or whatever you may have the opportunity to do, I hope you pause and give thanks for the freedoms that we have in this country. Atop the hill in Washington, D.C. is the Capitol building. And the cornerstone was laid in 1793, but the crowning piece is the statue on the top of the rotunda. It's known as the Freedom Lady. It was placed there in 1863. And the Freedom Lady stands nearly 20 feet tall atop the dome. Crest of stars frames her face, and a shield of stars and stripes is in her left hand. It was sculpted in Rome and brought to America aboard a sailing ship. And during the trip across the Atlantic Ocean, a fierce storm developed. The captain ordered the cargo thrown overboard to lighten the load. And the sailors wanted to throw the heavy statue overboard, but the captain refused, shouting over the wind, "No, we will flounder before we throw freedom away." And so Lady Freedom was saved, and the statue still stands above the dome today in the Capitol, standing for freedom. Likewise, we can enjoy freedom today as Americans because of those who have stood and fallen in defense of it. As Christians, we have even more to rejoice about. We can rejoice in the freedoms that we have in Jesus Christ. As we participate in a day to remember those who have died for freedom, it's fitting to remember the one who died to set us free from spiritual tyranny. Jesus fought the armies of Satan himself, that we might have freedom in his holy name. The Bible says, just as we read this morning, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Jesus died in order to set us free from sin, free from the law, free from death, and so much more. The truth is, the only way to experience genuine freedom is through Jesus Christ. Everything else is just an illusion of freedom. Came across a story of a prisoner in Sydney, Australia, and he was trying to escape from jail by climbing underneath the hood of a van that was delivering bread to the institution. When the van made its next stop, the prisoner sneaked out from under the hood. He was hot and dirty, and he was looking around, and he found himself in the yard of just another prison, 5 miles down the road from the first. Like that prisoner, our own attempts at lasting freedom often leave us in another prison, just 5 miles down the road of life. Often our attempts at freedom from our sin and with God leave us dejected and dirty and in another prison, usually of our own making. It shouldn't surprise us because we can't save ourselves. I know it sounds kind of anti-American to not encourage you to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, but when it comes to our relationship with God, salvation and freedom comes only from what Jesus has done for you and for us. It's not what you or I might do for him. We don't earn God's love. We are invited to enjoy it. We're invited to experience it, to embrace it. Just as our American freedoms have been bought and paid for with the blood of soldiers past and present, our eternal freedom has been fought and paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but that's something that's worth rejoicing over today. Not only is it a day of remembrance, a day of rejoicing, finally, it's a day of ringing out. One of the most prominent symbols of freedom in the United States, perhaps, is the Liberty Bell, which hangs today in the historic district of Philadelphia. It's been called an icon of liberty and justice. Its most famous ringing was on July 8th, 1776, when the sound of the Liberty Bell rang out from the tower of Independence Hall and it summoned the citizens to hear the first public reading of the Declaration of Independence by Colonel John Nixon. In that historic moment, the Liberty Bell fulfilled the purpose designated by its inscription: proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. That inscription is taken straight from the book of Leviticus, chapter 25, verse 10. The purpose of the bell flows out of God's word, and so does ours. God has the same purpose for our lives today, to proclaim liberty that is only available through Christ Jesus throughout the world. There's an old hymn that's titled Bring the Message Out, and it says, there's a message true and glad for the sinful and the sad. Ring it out. Ring it out. It will give them courage new and will help them to be true. Ring it out. Ring it out. Ring out the wonderful news that makes men happy and free to all the lost of every nation. Ring the message out. No matter where we live in this world, Paul reminds us that we have a common need for the free gift that God gives in Jesus Christ. He says, God makes people right with himself through their faith in Jesus Christ. That is true for all who believe in Christ, because all the people are the same. Everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's glory, and all need to be made right with God by his grace. As we remember those who fought and died for the cause of freedom, it's a message that Christians everywhere need to ring out. Because for those of us who have accepted that gift of salvation, we remember and we serve the one who gave his blood for us, for that ultimate freedom. I don't know what your need is this morning. I don't know. It's been a while since we've been gathered together here. If you've never accepted that free gift of salvation that was bought by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. I urge you, come and talk to one of us. And before you leave this place today, accept that gift. Tomorrow, of course, and over the course of this weekend, I encourage you to pause and remember those who have paid the ultimate price for our freedoms. But ultimately, rejoice for the one that gave his life to buy our salvation full and free. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we've had together in this place today. Father, I pray for those that are gathered here. If there's one here within the sound of my voice that has never accepted you for salvation, I pray that they would seek you today, and that they would seek you for salvation, and that they would surrender their lives to you. Father, for those that are gathered here, Father, for whatever reason and whatever need they might have, Lord, I pray that they would cast their burdens upon you. Lord, we thank you for the freedoms that we have, and we thank you for those that have made the ultimate sacrifice to give those freedoms to us. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother Matt, I might put you on the spot again.